What is that hat? Oh, that's right. You went there. How come you don't have an Oxford hat? Where's the Oxford hat?
They weren't. Okay, so I do kind of have a rule that I do have to go to a match or go to the stadium. So we didn't make it over there, so I didn't want
to. Oh, I thought you did. Oh, that's my bad. Okay.
We didn't. No, we went to Head of the River and drank too much and never made it that far south.
Okay, no problem. All good.
It happens in Oxford. Mm-hmm. I got a funny Oxford story, too. We were drinking at a pub, and these clear college kids just started running in and out of the pub. Like, there were three of them. They were wearing commando pants, and they were going upstairs, downstairs. Did you see anybody else in here? And we're like, what are you guys doing? We're like, oh, we're doing like a scavenger hunt. We're looking for, we have to, somebody's in here, and we have to ask them a question. They'll give us the next clue. And so I was like, we didn't see that, but I did see the last guys in the corner over there talking to that guy, and they were like, that's him. So they're over there. There were like four flurries of guys just running around drinking, and it was funny.
I'm not sure I can take him seriously with the bobble hat, though, Jordan. He looks like one of the crazy gang out of the Beano.
It's quite the look, isn't it? It's quite the look.
I'm Ryan Yates, and you're listening to Forest Fancast in North America.
Well, hey, happy New Year's, everybody. It's the Forest Fancast, the reunion tour. We're all here together on the pod today. I've got Jordan and Mark here. My name is Corey, and it's a new year. We've got several matches that we have to get caught up on. We're going to preview the FA Cup match with Chelsea. The transfer window's open. I cannot wait to see who we're going to buy or who we're not going to buy. And let's talk about who should go, maybe. What do we need to do to stay in the top six? Can we make a run at top two? Player of the season so far through Boxing Day. And the NFF CNA update with Jordan. Boys, it's great to be back. Let's get in the saddle. It's What the Forest time.
Let's get after it.
What the Forest?
All right. Fantastic to have you back. The gang's back together again. The band is back together again.
I'm drinking Sazerac tonight, boys. I broke out the good bottle. So here we go. What the Forest? Where have I been? Well, to tell you the truth, I broke off from the podcast, November 1st? And we went to England. And so we talked about it for a while, and we did get to England. We landed in a tropical storm, basically. It was just awful in Brighton. Winds of like 30 to 50 miles an hour. The waves were coming up over the top of the shoreline, and rocks were all the way up by the eye. The next day was crystal clear, and everybody was talking about how it's like the worst storm they've had in a long time. So that being said, we landed, got to our little, you know, penthouse that we rented on VRBO or Airbnb, and slept for an hour, and then we had to wake up and go to the Brighton Norwich match in this weather, which just was the epitome of going to see soccer or play golf in England. I mean, it was brutal. I mean, it was sideways rain. Fortunately, we got to dry off in one of the hospitality suites with the Brighton hospitality people, who are amazing, and it's such a beautiful club. They're really small, and it just has that really hometown feel over there, and a lot of pints. And then we walk in, and I learned a couple songs with the beginning of the game, and they won 2-0, and it just rained throughout the whole match, and there wasn't a seat to be seen. Everybody was in attendance, and really had a good, that was my first match in England, so I wish it could have been up in Nottingham, but it was in Brighton, and we had a great experience. I had a lot of beers, bought a lot of stuff in the shop for my kids just because they wanted some stuff from England. So, you know, that's what it was. That started our trip. I'm going to go quickly through what we did. We went up to Lewis to bonfire night, which was absolutely insanity. I've never seen so many fireworks legally been blown up in the middle of a town. And I highly recommend that. It's kind of apparently getting shut down slowly every year just because it's been pure mayhem. And it was really pleasant experience. We went up to Oxford, Mark's hometown, hung out at a lot of pubs up there, and it was super cool. And then ended up in London for 4 days before we left. And yes, I did attend a Chelsea and Crystal Palace match to see Captain America play, and it was pretty awesome too. That was the extent of matches. We got two in. The women got to shop for 8 days, and then we came home. And I've never had so many pints of beer in a 10-day span in my life.
You're going to battle me for my like university freshers week in terms of number of beers in such a short span of time. But sounds like you had a great time, mate. Shame you couldn't get to Nottingham, but no, I'm glad you got a couple of games in and got to live a bit of what we get to do when we get back.
So Mark recommended two pubs up in Oxford, which were absolute quality. I took one of my stickers at Eagle and Child. Is that the name of it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Eagle and Child, and I put one of our company stickers on the toilet, the reservoir at the top.
Oh, so fantastic.
The next system. Time you're hanging in there, yeah, the system, yeah. So it's up there. It'll say 30A on there, and that was pretty. It's the only place they were really putting stickers in the place, but I wanted to leave a mark, so there it's in.
Well,
there.
Well, you know, that's a pub that's best known for being one of the haunts, one of the holdups for J.R.R. Tolkien. So I'm sure they would consider you putting a sticker on the cistern up right up there with being the home of a literary giant. But I'm really delighted you got to go see the Seagulls. You know, you said they're a small club, very friendly, family orientated. That's my experience too. I've been to Brighton a couple of times with one of my best mates, who's actually a Forest fan. Shout out Trevor, lives in Brighton. And yeah, they are a really good club, well run. And that's a good first experience for it if you couldn't make it to the City Ground.
From that point, I've been kind of distracted. You know, American football for me, it has never been like this. The Saints are rolling. We're really trying to get them over the hump for one more championship for Drew Brees.
But Southampton.
That's pretty funny. And and then my college, LSU, is just on a roll like we've never seen before, and the 13th can't come soon enough. So we're not going to be able to record anything on that Monday night, the 13th, because I will be knee-deep.
Now we have to. Now we have to record that night. Yeah. You're going to be blotto.
So best of luck to my LSU Tigers against Clemson. It's been a heck of a year. And after this, I'll be fully in to the English football. So good to be back, boys.
It's good to have you back, mate.
Jordan, you took a trip to UK too, so you're for what the Force is kind of about traveling too.
Yeah, so I got a little 5-day trip in between Christmas and New Year, popped in to see the family and actually, you know, meet up with a few mates and watch a Forest game. So yeah, great little trip. I didn't get to see everyone, but so apologies for those of you listening that I didn't get to meet. A few of you are away on vacation in various places. But yeah, just a couple of bits for me. Firstly, just gutted. No Brees Samba jerseys left in the store. Unless you're a 4XL, then you're in luck. But I really missed getting one of those jerseys. So Mark put the little Twitter kind of poll up. So yeah, I'm proudly wearing my Thiago Silva away shirt right now.
I can't tell. Is one of the black sides faded?
Yeah, it's
oh, like it's blue. It's the
blue and blue. It's the split kit. And then I got the Amiobi in my red shirt because he is the one and only, and he wears the Garibaldi. So yeah, I've got a couple of jerseys. Caught the Wigan game, which we'll talk about later. Just on merch, the 47 hat partnership's awesome. There are some awesome Forest hat gear in the shop right now. It was probably the only thing that wasn't fully sold out. It's quite slim picking. But they're pretty sweet.
I texted Jordan about getting me a top.
Yeah, sold out.
God love you for looking.
I was like looking everywhere and the guy was like, oh, they were long gone. Forest need to sort out their stock so I can get my jersey. You can get your jacket, Mark. And we'll be rocking and rolling. But yeah, a few pubs. Caught up with the Forza lads. Caught up with Greg, one of our interviewees. As well. So yeah, cracking little trip back, bagged some points, and we'll talk about the matches later.
Well, I had nothing. I don't have a WTF as far as travel's concerned, but I am just going to chime in just to say that I did go snowboarding with my boy here these last few days, which is why I'm sounding a bit raspy. And anyone who has been following us on Twitter has seen the glorious photo that I just posted with my snowboard. I have to go check it out. I'm not going to steal my own thunder, but it's Forest related.
What the nice.
Who is hot in the championship? Millwall and Brentford have recently secured a lot of points, 13 points in the last six matches, followed by Swansea with 11, Forest with 10 in the last six matches. Three in a row. That's three wins in a row, which is solid. We all like that momentum. Leeds with 9, West Brom and Fulham with 7. 11 points separate first to sixth in the table. Only 2 points separate third to sixth. Thoughts on the table, boys? Hot teams mid-table right now are Burrow and Reading. December was pretty bad for us, but then we have three wins over Christmas, which was nice.
Yeah, I think the table's really going to take shape here in the next month or so. Obviously, there's been a bit of a shake-up over the holiday period with there being so many games in quick succession. Brentford always have a good, strong start to the season. They'll fall away, I predict. They may hang out, may stick out into the playoffs, but I really don't see them being likely challengers. Fulham and Swansea, though, I think are the real McCoy, and I think Sheffield Wednesday are going to come on strong as well. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Forest certainly have the ability to stay in and amongst it, as they've shown these last few games. So, it's going to be interesting. Whether any team can broach that top two, we'll talk a bit more about that as we go on into the games.
Yeah, it's going to be quite tight. Like, there's a lot of teams making deals already in the transfer window. Like, you've got Borough signed two players already. I think Derby signed a player, but I don't know who. There could be teams that come from nowhere. But yeah, I agree with you, Mark. I think the top six, I can't see changing that much. Sheffield Wednesday are a strong team. They might pull in there, but I can't see anyone else really kind of breaking into that. I think the class will start separating themselves.
I think Millwall will go in there. I think Millwall are going to probably end up replacing one of the teams in the top six right now. Hopefully not us.
Do you reckon? I think it'll be Sheffield Wednesday for me. The danger team. Oh, wow. Okay. And then, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Leeds and West Brom maintain their dominance. I think they've been the cut above everyone else so far this season. But, you know, will there be signs of them potentially shaking? And, you know, if we win our game in hand, we're only 6 points off, and could that be some ground that we take too? So, yeah, still early days. I think it's February that's going to really start to shake things up. I think we've got like 7 games in February, which is just ridiculous. And I think we'll know really at the end of February how things are going to end up, really.
So, Mark, if you look at the Premier League, Liverpool is absolutely running away with it. The Leeds lead to you, is it? Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. I'm doing the same job. But my comparison is the Leeds lead is not quite unreachable.
No, it's not. And Leeds are another team who, like the team up the street off the A52, tend to have a little bit of a choke period at some point during the season. They've had a couple of wobbles. They've gotten over the line. They've got a couple of draws. Obviously, that crazy game against Cardiff, they were 3-0 up, ended up drawing 3-3. So they've had a bit of a wobble. I don't know if their wobbles are entirely over yet. I actually think West Brom are going to end up probably taking top spot. I would love to say Forest or one of the other teams in the top six right now, or Millwall or Sheffield Wednesday, who we think might have a bit of a run, might also threaten Leeds for that second spot. But I don't know. I mean, back to Jordan's point, they've been a cut above simply because I think their squads are so much deeper. You look at Forest's squad, obviously, we've got a lot of bodies, but that early season strength and depth that we thought we had, it doesn't seem to be panning out. The changes Lamouchi's making right now in starting 11s, the tinkering doesn't seem to be working out for us, whereas Leeds and West Brom seem to find a way to get it done, which is, you know, why they're in those top two spots.
What the fuck?
All right, hey, this Sunday for the FA Cup match, it's Mental Health Awareness Day, and they're actually kicking the game off at 8:01 in support of mental awareness.
That's a terrible pun.
I'm drifting here, boys. I'm drifting.
It's like a mental delay.
Mental health problems. Verbal health problems. Mental health problems. And it's called Have Your Mates Back. I'm not sure that they're going to wear the jerseys backwards on the field, but they're encouraging you to maybe do it in warm-ups. And 8:01 is the kick. It's meant to bring awareness to mental health awareness. So I think it's a good program. I kind of think of things where people have their lives, right? And they march through them all the time, and you see people every day that you might not know. And simple opening up the door for somebody could change somebody's day. You never know what anybody's going through, and you should kind of maybe know what your friends are going through or acquaintances. So maybe talk to people a little bit more, and if they look like they're struggling, have a longer conversation. Maybe you're late to work, but maybe that conversation went a long way in changing somebody's mindset for the day.
Yeah, that's a a great point. Really, really nicely put, Corey. You got there eventually, mate. Well played.
verbal awareness month is next month.
But yeah, no, as someone who's had their own mental health issues, I think it's a very important topic, and I think for people to speak out about and be supportive of others, and you know, hopefully, you know, we can build on the great work Forrest have already done with the It's Tricky to Talk program. And videos there. So yeah, let's keep it on the front of our minds. And I think it's a nice little initiative. I think everyone was worried about, like, why is it 1 minute past whatever? But I think it's been really great at raising the profile and builds on all the mind stuff that they've done this season too.
During the awards for sports, sometimes you see them on ESPN or something, and they award, you know, these service type awards. And did you see the high school football coach that stopped the shooting? Did you see the video of this?
I heard the story, but I hadn't heard
it. It's quite amazing. A kid just decided to walk into school that day with a trench coat, and he had a shotgun with him, and the coach happened to be right there, and he got the kid to give him the gun, and he put the gun down.
Oh, I saw this. Yeah.
And instead of tackling him to the ground, he decided to hug him, and the kid whispered to him, "I just felt so alone." And it's one of the most touching stories, because that could have got handled by police or whoever nationwide a completely different way. But fortunately, that guy was there for that. I'm sure the kid is locked up right now, or at least under supervision. But I think at least that kid probably that day noticed somebody was caring for him. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. What the Forest? Another What the Forest. Team of the Decade, you guys went over this and decided to go through 10 years of stats, and you compiled your own Team of the Decade. And
it was a long and arduous process. We went through it with a fine tooth comb. We argued, we bickered, we disagreed. We finally came to the conclusion that I was right.
Well, I believe I'm going to believe you were right too, Mark. So
thanks, Corey. Thank you.
Let's look at what you two did quickly and compare it to Team of the Decade that the fan vote put out through the club. Go ahead. It's in your court.
Oh, fair enough. All right. So I had Breece Samba in goal. Got somewhat mocked for it because, you know, he's only been here for a heartbeat, but my case gets strengthened with
it's
every
proving
match.
Proving better every game.
Yeah. Tattoos have been issued.
I had a centre-back partnership of Michael Dawson and Wes Morgan. Right back, I had Eric Lehi. It surprises me. His name's not been mentioned anywhere. And I know I have a leaning toward players who work their asses off. Maybe not the most skilled players, but those who just give it all for the shirt. Lehi certainly falls into that category. Strangely, though, I seem to be the only person who picked him at right back. But there he is. Left back, Chrissy Cohen. For much the same reasons everybody else picked him, in that he has to be in the team. And so left back it is. Centre mid, I had, who did I have? I had Henry Lansbury, and I had Ben Osborne, I think. And left, I had Reedy. Right, I had Antonio. Going entirely from memory here. I wasn't expecting to do this. And up top, I had Ernie, and I had Sambolanga.
Yeah, so I've got a bit of a confession to make. I think I got my back line wrong, didn't I, really? My back three. I got a bit of jit when I went back to the UK about Bojan Djokic. I'm gonna double down. Who's actually a class left back? But yeah, picking Jack Hobbs ahead of some of the other centre backs was a bit of an oversight from me. So do apologise to those that I offended. There's got to be a bit of a Wes Morgan or something in there, I think. Maybe Jamal Lascelles. So they're the kind of two that appeared in some of the other teams of the decade. Because I think Radio Nottingham put one out too, didn't they? But I'm sticking by my McKenna, Lansbury, Miyevsky midfield. And then Antonio and Reed, I think everyone's agreed with.
Yeah.
And then Sambolanga Rentro, I think, are the two. I think Graben, again, is putting in a case right now. And I think, I think he's doing really, really well this season. So I think we're all in agreement on the goalkeeper, which, you know, have been bloody awful positions for us pretty much this decade anyway. So I'm going to take that on the chin.
My favourite thing about this whole Team of the Decade thing has been all of those numpties on Twitter who've been submitting, like, Stuart Pearce or John Robertson.
Yeah, yeah.
Of the last 10 years, people. It's great. Yeah.
I had to do some research because all the people that you're making me research for the show, they weren't in the last 10 years. So I did figure that out.
Did you recognize any names out of my worst 11, Corey?
No.
Like Aaron Tshiebola, I thought would be front of mind for you.
I'll do that one next pod.
So, Aaron Tshiebola.
What was the fan team then? You got it there, Corey.
Yes. Sam Vilanga, what is it? Earnshaw, Reed. Is it McGugan?
You're going backwards, are you? Yes. An orthodox there.
Yeah, it was a little bit. Center back.
Yes, I mean, that's Cohen, Antonio, Bertrand, Morgan, and this one is going to get me. Lascelles.
Yeah,
Lascelles. Gunter, and of course, Samba, who's only been here 3 months. So
the Bertrand one really flew all over me. I'm not having that. That's nonsense. That's based upon what he went on to do.
Yeah, he played here for like, what was it, 6 months or something, wasn't
10
it?
10 minutes.
And then he left. And like,
that's like John Terry being in the team.
It's tough. It is. I think that's a tough choice, Bertrand. I think he's a good left back, but when he was here, that's like saying Aaron Ramsey should be in our team of the decade,
absolutely,
right? Like, I'm not having that.
Or Ian Wright.
Yeah. I'm not having it. Not
what
having it.
The Forest?
Yeah, what the Forest? So it's Christmas Day. It's about 6:30 p.m. circa. We're in Balham in South London on Nightingale Lane. And then there's this guy dressed as a snowman in a Lamborghini Hurricane. He just smashes it into a house. And it's Mikel Antonio. I don't know if you guys... Everyone must have heard this story, but if you haven't, basically, Mikel Antonio crashes his Lamborghini Hurricane, his $200,000 car, straight into a house. And then he turns up and loses 2-1 the next day when he plays Crystal Palace. So, cracking Christmas for our boy Mikel. Building it on the team of the decade. He's a class footballer, but I think his driving abilities are lacking for sure. So, funny story there from me.
Sounds like he drives like he used to play, or does play, just very, very fast in a straight line, crashing through things.
Just all the pictures of it were immense as well.
I didn't follow this news. I assume he wasn't driving the vehicle, right?
He was driving.
Yeah, of course he was. Driving it. Yeah.
He was, okay.
He was sober.
He was sober.
Somehow, dressed as a snowman. And if you go on his Instagram, you can see the video that he did before he actually drove the car out there. And he's got this massive carrot thing on his nose. It's quite a good outfit, to be fair to him. And he's singing the old snowman theme. But, brilliant. Brilliant.
He was sober, Corey. He plays for West Ham, not Derby.
Right. Ah, that's funny. Unlike the guys that were out on New Year's Eve on their down in South Florida, I think it was in Dania, at there was an inlet and there's a jetty, like a rock jetty that goes out in the water, and they drove their like 40-foot center console up onto the jetty, but there's nobody there when the cops came and the marine patrols. Nobody knows who was driving the boat.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of great photos of the boat up on the rocks too, but that's nobody's nuts. To be found. So either they're dead or they're hiding. I'm going to go with their hiding. Wow.
What the fuck?
I missed this on the last episode. Apologies. 10th of December, BBC Radio Derby, the Graham Torrington Show. So those on BBC Sounds in the UK, go and have a look back. And those of you abroad, I think you can still get a touch of it. Skip to the show to around 56 minutes and 40 seconds. And they're talking about numbers. There's a really big story from Tom, and talks about how he had a bit of a drink driving incident in Derby. So I'll leave people to listen to that cracking listen, and don't drink and drive, people.
I'm trying to find it right now because I retweeted it on Twitter through our account, and I'm gonna see if I can find where it originates. Sorry,
it's
I posted it.
Outstanding.
So you can go listen to it.
It's brilliant, isn't it? It is super good, super good.
Oh, it was Silverdale. It was Silverdale. Well, it originally came from at Matty Mortimer 56. Matty Mortimer 56. So.
What the Forest?
One more What the Forest. QPR goal of the decade. They did their little vote recently about their goal of the decade. So it's the 24th of May, 2014. It's the 90th minute of the Championship playoff final between QPR and our mates Derby County. So we've got Hoylett down the right, battles through a couple of defenders, squares the ball into the box. Richard Keogh doesn't clear, falls at the feet of Zamora! And there you go. That's QPR's goal of the decade. I voted in that, and I voted for said goal. So I'm very happy that the Bobby Zamora QPR goal of the decade. Congratulations.
That's amazing. I didn't hear about that. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was good. Oh man, I think Paul Taylor had a bit of influence there. He quote tweeted it and said, you know, fans of a certain club may want to vote in this. So I think a few Forest fans took it over the line. Yeah, class that it went.
Talking about contentious things to do with Forest and Derby, did anyone happen to hear on 606? Robbie Savage talking about, because he always gives his co-host Emma, oh, I can't think of her last name now. Anyway, the last he co-hosts 606 with, he always gives her a hard
Emma
time.
Oh, Emma Jones, is it?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Because she's
a Leeds fan.
Yeah, she's a Leeds fan, that's right. So he always gives her a hard time because, you know, he talks about Leeds bottling it and choking it last year and everything else. And but he came out and said, you know, I want Leeds to go up. He said, they're a big club. I'd love to see them go up. There's a few clubs I'd love to see go up. He obviously talks about Birmingham and Derby because those are his teams. And then he went on to say, and another one as well, might surprise a few people, Nottingham Forest.
Oh, here we go.
Apparently, his phone blew up. All the Derby people like texting him, and then Twitter blew up. They're like, how can you say Derby's your club and you want Forest to go up as well? Like, oh, magnificent. Oh. I hate Robbie Savage, but... But that brief moment in time, I loved
it. Did a job for us.
All right, matches. We're gonna get into the matches now. We're going over four of them because we've all agreed that we're not gonna talk about Sheffield, right?
What are we talking about? What's that?
Yeah.
It didn't really happen if we don't talk about it. So let's get into the Huddersfield 2-1 loss. Joe Worrall with a second half goal. It just wasn't enough, and I don't know, it was kind of a weird match, right?
Yeah, do you want to do a good, bad, ugly again, given as we have four to plow through?
Yeah, you, Jordan, run with that for sure.
All right, you're up, Jordan.
I'll go first then. So I think the good news is we won the second half 1-0.
let me give you some more straws here for you to grasp at.
Then, bad. I'm going to put that we conceded 7 goals in a row over that course of the matches without scoring ourselves, skipping through the previous games. So... yeah, that was pretty bad, and we didn't look like scoring for the first half very much either. So that was the bad. And the ugly is these Cowley brothers. Honestly, man, the shithousery, dirty tactics, time-wasting. Oh, man, I was getting rattled. And so we got out shithoused. So, that was the ugly side of it. Like, it was just pathetic, some of the stuff that Huddersfield were doing. So I can't wait to play them again and smash them.
Well, I wish I could deviate from what you've just said, but I think mine are pretty much on a par with yours. Obviously, this game now was quite some time ago, so not only is it hard to recall, but I don't think we want to recall it. The good, I would say, is Joe Worrall with a rare goal notched up, at least at the right end. nice header, and scoring the only goal for Forest on the day. Bad. This is, I guess, on the theme of the shithousery in that Huddersfield were unbelievable at time wasting. I mean, just astonishing. Every trick in the book. And evidently they were playing with 12 men as well. The referee was not interested in doing anything about it. And then the ugly, I mean, this was the Cowley brothers situation, particularly half-time, I think it was. You know, you keep hearing about how many people get caught out on cell phones, how, you know, people always say, that's tough. You know, he lives in this age. Everyone has a cell phone. Why does no one have a cell phone down the tunnel? Why has nobody put that footage on YouTube? I want to see the Mushi going toe-to-toe with Danny Cowley. So anyway... That was certainly quite what we could see of it.
No, that was brilliant. I think that was the one game where I was like, oh, I'm glad I'm not actually there and I have some of the iFollow footage, because the iFollow camera was perfectly positioned, like just in that entrance of the tunnel. Yeah. You saw Michael Dawson getting heavily involved in the mix. I'm excited to hear the true stories. I'm surprised The Athletic hasn't published an article on that kerfuffle and the actual lowdown and story. But that was a good little bit of fight and spirit, wasn't it, I think, to just before Christmas.
And just to kind of put the absolute shine on the pile of shit that was Huddersfield and Danny Cowley in particular, his post-game comments, Forest were physical today, and in that moment, you can either step back or step forward. We stepped forward. No one will come here and beat us up. Shut up, mate. Yeah. You are a twat. Corey, what are your thoughts?
Well, honestly, my thoughts are my sushi just got here. So, so in the spirit of Dan from NYC, I'm going to eat while y'all go over Hull City. Hull City is our next match.
It is.
It's become a thing.
I love
it. A goal in each half from Lewis Graben was enough to secure Nottingham Forest's first Boxing Day win away from home since 1991, as they claimed a 2-0 victory over Hull City. Hull had several close opportunities. Graben bangs home a PK in the first half. His second was quality. So, guys, while I enjoy my sushi, tell me about that one. That was a good match. I enjoyed that one.
You want to go first, Mark, on this one?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, it was a good match in many respects. Forest were getting a little dubbed in regards to possession, but, you know, just got it done when they needed to. And it was interesting when we got that penalty. I saw people on Twitter saying, why is Graben taking it? He's missed PKs before. You've got a guy who's on fire like Graben right now. You give him the ball. Give him the ball. Get out of the way. You know, I remember one season, I'm also a bit of a Roma sympathizer as well. I remember one season, Totti missing 5 PKs in a season. Did someone take the ball off him? No, they didn't, right? You give it to the best man for the job, and invariably he'll get it done ultimately. In terms of good, bad, and ugly, it's kind of cheap to suggest that the good is Graben's brace, but it was a fantastic brace. The bad, I'm struggling for anything bad. I mean, 2-0 away from home, clean sheet. You're doing Eric Lehigh, who I do love, but nonetheless, to get one over on a former Forest player is it's always excellent. I feel like I'm letting the team down as well because I'm struggling for an ugly. This was a consummate away performance. I mean, this is what Forest have been doing so well this season so far. We know we've had our issues at home, but this was just about as good as it gets.
Is it okay to say their kits were ugly? Hull City's kits were pretty ugly. They were.
And it's Hull, isn't it? That's the ugly bit. It's in Hull. I think
it's in Hull. They look like UPS drivers.
I thought that, I mean, Hull had some of the attributes that we saw, and that's definitely very much in air quotes, attributes we saw from Huddersfield as well, in that they kind of, you know, started getting a little chippy, but it wasn't really an ugly game. Forest didn't play badly. I thought Hull contributed to the match. I think overall it was a good match. And Forest were just very businesslike and got it done.
Yeah, I think for me, it was such a critical game for us to get the 3 points. We really needed it after the previous 2 games. And I think we just, you know, we kept Bowen quiet. We kept Grosicki quiet, which was the main threat that we had from Hull. Like, I'm really struggling to come with a bad or an ugly. Maybe Kemmer's yellow card right at the start, pretty aggressive. But yeah, like, we just, it was a really good away performance. I'd put that on a par with the Fulham game in terms of like importance and momentum building. The bad was just my flight landed too late on Boxing Day to head up there. So
So you've given us a collective bad there. I'm going to go ahead and give us a collective ugly, which is Sky Sports. I went on skysports.com before the match started to check the lineup and get access to some stats and whatnot. And I was looking at the Forest starting 11. And apparently in centre attacking mid, Forest were starting Evanildo, which is still on the website right now. I'm looking at skysports.com. If you go to Forest and you look at the whole game, they're showing in the starting 11, somebody in centre attacking mid called Ivanildo, I think it is. Ivanildo. Either way, that sent me scurrying to the Forest webpage. Who did we sign? Is this some youth team player? Sky Sports botched up our starting 11 and evidently haven't corrected it since. So there you go.
All right, so let's get 3 more points here. Wigan, a 1-0 win. It was awesome. It was an electric save by Samba. He was amazing, right? Brees, let's go ahead and get on that. How about that save, Jordan?
Oh, man. Unreal. So this is the game I got to go to when I was home. So really happy. I got sat there in Lower Bridgeford. Quite a few North American trickies were at the game as well. So we had representation from LA, Chicago, Houston, I think. And a couple of us from Toronto too. So very, very good, a strong attendance from us over in from North America. Good. Just Brees Samba, man. He is in, like, and I tweeted about it too. Like, he's incredible in the flesh as well as he is on iFollow. He was pinging passes left, right and centre. That penalty save was amazing. Oh, yeah, just fell in love more with Bree Samba. So that was that was the good. I think other good bits is just when we brought Lolly and Silver on, that really changed the game for us as well. So a good bit of substitution from us in the second half. The bad, I think...
Whoa. You didn't talk about the good. What about the goal? Give us a... You were there.
Yeah, it was decent, wasn't it? It was decent.
Well, it got you 3 points. It's damn decent, if you ask me. So talk about the goal.
So my man, Thiago Silva, whips in the corner, little Figueiredo flip into the corner. Yeah, we were up there in Lower Bridgeford. I think I scared my girlfriend with the way that I cheered the goal and the mayhem that ensued. Our glorious banners has the photo of the absolute pile-on that occurred in Lower Bridgeford after the goal. Yeah, relief, really, I think, more than anything on that one. So, yeah, no, very good. Needed that 3 points again, and momentum starts to build as we go through these next few games, right? But, yeah, that was my good. So quite a lot of good, considering it was a bit of a turgid game. Yeah, bad. Then we'll go into, took us a while to get going. A bit of a sloppy start. And atmosphere was starting to drift a little bit. We had a few discontent fans in the stadium, particularly as we headed towards halftime. And then the ugly is like, Wigan were poor. Like, they couldn't play it out the back as well. So that was my kind of, we should have really battered them, I think. That was my overarching feeling from the game. Really missed kind of having Samba So in there regularly. Was my overarching kind of thoughts from that. Although he didn't play. And then we had Alpha Semedo playing centre attacking mid and Joao Carvalho on the left. So, Mark,
pull the reins on that. I want to talk about
I'll
that.
Let you run, I'll let you run with that because that rattled me as well.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're covering a lot of the same ground here. We could divvy up between Samba's save and Figueiredo's goal, the good in the game. Certainly, they were both high spot moments. In terms of bad, this Semedo situation, it confused me, obviously. I didn't understand why he was playing in that position. Not only that, but it's been bothering me for the last few games. And it went on to bother me as well in the Blackburn game, how we don't seem to have much in the way of creativity. And I know we talked about creativity, so I'm going to inject a new word here into our conversation, which is thrust. There doesn't seem to be much coming through the center of the park. We're not splitting lines. We're not, threading between defenders. I'm not seeing much in the way of give and go, where the attacking mid is looking to get in behind Graben. There's been a lot of debate about, is it Carvalho? Is it Silva? It's not Semedo, but who is it that needs to be playing that position? And I think that feeds into this overall debate, which is, nobody's really taken ownership of that position. And I think because of that, we're not seeing output from that position. I think that's putting undue pressure on Graben, certainly, but our wingers as well. And I think that's maybe why Lolly has been getting a little bit of a battering this year. Yes, his number's not where they need to be. And obviously we'll come on to talk about that here when we talk about the Blackburn game in just a moment, because we saw an uptick in those numbers. But I think we're putting Semedo in that central attacking midfield position. To me, that really underscored one of the issues that we're having. And so once I saw he was starting there, I really focused on it. I mean, I literally did the whole sky red button, following him around the field, trying to see, what kind of contribution he might make, not just in terms of what he does on the ball, but in terms of his movement and positions he's taking up. And I just feel like he and everyone else who's played that position, certainly in the last handful of games, and maybe this is something that's gone back to maybe even earlier in the season, and we just didn't pay attention to it because we were on such a high. There's just nothing coming out of that position. There's so little coming out in terms of offensive contribution, and it's really bothering me. And so we talked earlier about we need another attacker. We maybe need another winger. One of the reasons I put the poll on Twitter this week about, who should Forrest go out and go get, one of those options was a Lewis McGugan-esque type central midfielder. I put that option there for a reason, because I actually feel like I don't know that Silva's it. I think Silva's a fantastic player. I think he should absolutely be in the starting lineup, but I don't know that he's the answer in that position, and Semedo certainly isn't.
It was a weird choice. I think we need to sort that out, don't we, really? It's...
Bit of a rant.
I just want Carvalho to have four or five games in that position, I think we can unleash his potential again. I think Thiago Silva's also performed really well in that spot. And, you know, when he came on and Lolly came on, it made a real difference in that second half. But we just need to stick with something here. And I think we just tried one too many experiments. And I think it was good that we rested players, and I'm glad we got the 3 points, but it didn't look great.
No, I think once you have ownership of the position, you have a lot of confidence. And then I think you start seeing the things I'm looking for, right? Which is right now, a lot of the balls that are being played from that position, they're what I call the low percentage balls. And so we're not looking for those kind of higher risk balls. We're not looking for those balls that might split lines. Equally, I'm not seeing players in that position necessarily commit into the attacking third. They seem to be hanging back, and whether or not that's something they're being asked to do by the coach or whether that's, you know, individual decisions. But I think once you have ownership of a position, you have a little bit more agency. That's when I think you see particularly our creative players do exciting things. And you've seen it in other parts of the field. You've seen players who clearly own those spots and right now playing out their skin. Matty Cash is a good example. Lewis Graben is another. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I'd like to see Lamucci settle on somebody for maybe 3 or 4 games, give them a license to go, you know, if they've got the ability, if they're technically really good, then go kill the other team, right? Go show off. Go do something exciting. Get the crowd off the seat. In terms of ugly, that was the ugly for me was the penalty decision that Wigan didn't get late on.
They could have had about 7 penalties, I swear, that game. It was ridiculous.
And I think it just speaks to our defense is very robust, but we also have a self-destruct button. We start panicking, right? Particularly after we've been scored on. It's like all hands to the pump. Everybody's freaking out. And I wonder, and again, I feel stupid saying this, because whenever somebody is missing from the starting lineup, us or other people on Twitter invariably suggest that the problem with the team is the person who's on the bench, right? Yeah. And it's, when So's not out there, we need So. When Lolly's not out there, we need Lolly, right? Yeah. So I'm about to suggest that perhaps some of the kind of chicken with your head cut off-ness that we've been seeing our defense is down to the absence of Dawson. That being said, Dawson has been in those defenses where we've seen it in evidence too. So anyway.
And Dawson played in a game that didn't happen either, didn't he?
That's right. Yes, he did. So that's my ugly. Anyway.
All right. So we got one more match. Blackburn came to the City Ground, scored 2 on Samba. Look, Jordan, it's okay because Lolly had 1 and Graben had 2. And we won 3-2, moving the Reds into 4th spot in the table. That was kind of a crazy match.
Yeah. I think, fantastic result again. Blackburn could have been one that we split, you know, we slipped up on. We were running with 2 wins in a row, and, you know, it would have been a nice way to roll off and begin the new year. And we got the 3 points. I think for me, the good was just how much better we looked. You know, we had Lolly, Silva, Amiobi. I think they're probably the top 3 in there right now behind Graben. And it looked so much more fluid. We pressed higher up the pitch. We had that thrust and creativity that you referenced earlier, Mark. Mm-hmm. I think we looked really great. So I think that was my good. The bad was that we conceded 2 bad goals, really. Robinson doesn't look great. It's afraid to say it. It's been bizarre how he's just slipped away this season. But Robinson's not looked very good. And that was a bit of the bad in the goals. And the ugly, 6th minute, Samba So isn't an attacking player, is he? Basically, he had this layoff from Silva, boots it for a throw-in. Couldn't believe it. So, Samba So should stick to defending, and he's a bit of a monster in there anyway. But the ugly was that shot early in the game. That was horrendous.
I know Graben got 2 goals. One of them was a peach. And again, killer from the penalty spot. But my good has got to be Joe Lolly. You know, I'm not going to say return to form, because I think, like you, I think he's had a decent season. I think he's been contributing. Yeah. It just hasn't shown up in his numbers. It needs to. I think if we're going to take a really serious run here, at least staying in the playoffs and maybe even broaching that top 2, then we need Lolly to contribute. And start racking up those stats. And it was really nice to see that. Okay, his goal was kind of spawny, But he was, you know, he was being a lot more dangerous, and he was drawing defenders. And yeah, it was good to see him. So Pepe the bad, this is bad as in badass, in Amiobi roasting his defender, putting in what I saw on Twitter somebody describe as a John Robertson-esque cross for Graben to just directly header back across the face of goal into the far corner. That was badass. That was fantastic. So wonderful goal. And then the ugly for me, couple little moments of ugly. I can't remember who played the ball to him. I want to say it was Lolly actually played the ball to Thiago Silva. Again, technically one of the best players on the team. He was just inside the box on the left-hand side. All he had to do was open up his hip, take the ball off of the instep of his left foot, and he would have been through on goal, one-on-one with the keeper. And yeah, 50p foot came into play there. Ball pinged off in completely the wrong direction. Blackburn went up the other end and scored. And then late in the game, of course, Joe Worrall, who was trying to do the right thing, ends up sliding the ball into the back of his own net. So ugly's a little harsh for both of those moments. But, you know, those are key moments, and those are things that we just, you don't want to see have happen. But, you know, we're not infallible. Yeah. We're not the perfect team. So we're looking for good, bad, and ugly. And if I'm pressed for ugly, those would be my moments.
Speaking of good, how about the sushi that my wife brought me tonight for the show? It's outstanding. On that note, I noticed in England when we were over there, we were in Brighton, and after a long day of going through the lanes and drinking and hitting pubs, somebody tells us about this amazing sushi spot down near the coast, and it's all served on conveyor belts. You just sit there and the conveyor belt comes right by your table and you get it. So we thought that was cool, but we didn't really care at that point because we couldn't taste anything. So yeah. We're leaving and just lugging all of our mess that we bought in England through the airport at Heathrow. And I'm like, I'm going to get some sushi. And there it was again. They had a conveyor belt sushi shop right there in Heathrow. So I guess that's a thing over there.
Yo sushi, isn't it?
It was. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. I think Brighton has the best sushi. If you go down to where the pebbles are and you keep going until the pebbles get wet.
All right.
There's some fantastic sushi there.
God, Mark.
All you can eat.
Mark, we're going to edit that out.
Fair enough.
That's really funny. Hey, let's look forward to one match, which is this weekend. Our pod will be out before the FA Cup match against Chelsea. I actually think this is a really interesting match for us because I think it's very winnable, because if you look at what Chelsea's done recently, they've lost to Southampton, who is atrocious. They've lost to Bournemouth, who is atrocious. They lost to Everton, who just got a new coach. And to be fair, they played well with the new coach, but they were atrocious. They beat Tottenham, which was pretty nice, but they're not in great form right now, and they're also not going to start their normal people. I would imagine Caballero will be in goal. I would imagine at striker you'll see somebody like Batshuayi or even the soon-to-be departing Olivier Giroud. Let's talk about who we feel is going to play. Are we going all in on this match up against Chelsea, and let's see if we can catch them when they're not starting their best.
I saw a report today as well suggesting that apparently there's an illness running through Chelsea right now, if it's flu or sickness or what it is. So there may be some other players who are impacted as well. So, yeah, who knows what Chelsea will put out. But surely whatever they put out should be good enough to take us down. But I suppose that depends upon what we decide to put out. And I don't know. I'm on the fence for this one. I love the FA Cup. I absolutely love the competition. Yeah. I think it's the world's greatest domestic competition. So I always hate to see teams do anything that kind of besmirches it. That being said, you know, we're fourth in the table right now. And, sometimes these distractions are good. Sometimes you hear teams talk about, we went deep in the cup and it was good for morale and it really helped us with our league form. Obviously, on other occasions, it negatively impacts it. So I don't know. I mean, what do you boys think? Do you think we should go with our strongest 11, thinking we might be able to get something out of this if we're playing Chelsea C team or not?
I think Cash and Lolly and Graben should start. I think you should put Samba in goal and let's go at it. And I don't know the other elements that'll be in between that, but let's attack. And man, a win in London is fantastic. I think that energizes the next few matches that we have. I just don't see them really starting anybody that's significant. They're going to hold back Pulisic, who's been out of form. And he went through some good moments, but I don't think he'll start. But I do think after 60 minutes that they'll start putting some starters in if it's close if it's a draw at that point. I think they'll try and win it late, but I don't think they're starting anybody significant.
Yeah, I can't work out what Sabri's doing at the moment too. I don't know if it's mind games or what have you. He's released a few comments today saying, you know, well, I'm a realist. We're not going to win it anyway. You know, we'll kind of focus is on the league. So I don't know if this is amazing mind games and he just whips out our best team and we carry on the momentum, or if we're going to kind of throw the game almost.
Go for it. No, you just have to go for it. I think this is the time you can go for it.
Yeah, I think it honestly, if we went all in, I think we could beat them. I think there's two downsides to that. I think firstly, I'm thinking about the London trickies here. We'd have to rearrange the Brentford away game, and that would be mint on a Saturday, all day drinking for the Brentford game. So that's that one. And two, league is our priority right now. And I'm in two minds whether will it kill our momentum if we get battered and rest loads of players or not. So
don't you want to improve really on the last
really
trip?
Struggling. I'd love us to win. I'd love us to play our best team. I think we could do it.
You want to improve on last trip down there last year. I mean, it was 3-0, 4-0. That wasn't great, but I mean, the Forest fans sang Chelsea out of the stadium, which was amazing, but wouldn't you like to see a close game? I just think a close game goes a long way.
Yeah,
think,
you're right.
I think we recall Tyler Walker and let him loose on Chelsea.
Decent.
Yeah, look at Mark.
Come on, lad.
Yeah, there you go. Get in.
I'd be very happy with that. Now that I've finally decided that Mir is lost cause.
So, Mark. Yeah, I forgot about this earlier, the Forest. Like, we've still got Mir and Miric still not fully confirmed as departing yet, and we've not signed anyone. And it's the third day. What are they messing about at? Let's get rid of
I love the fact we haven't yet talked about who we might want to bring in, but we've already talked about who we want to get rid of.
It's we know.
Just bin them off.
Well, I mean, do we want to talk a little bit about who you would like to see come in, Mark? Just real quick. I mean, we're running a little bit long today, and we still have predictions and an update with Jordan.
Yeah, this is dead simple. I do think if we're not going to give Cavalio or Silva 4 or 5 games in that center attacking midfield position, then I think that's a position we need to be looking at. I think we could also do a strengthening the wing as well. But honestly, we all know that the number one priority is finding some backup for Grabban and maybe even giving the coach another player that enables him to change up the formation on those occasions where it makes sense. So this is never going to happen, but I would love to see Forrest go all out to bring in Jarrod Bowen from Hull. Versatile player. Very, very clinical. Currently 17 goals on the season. The whole city, that's an incredible outlay. So I would love to see Bowen in the squad as an alternative to Grabban or even as a partner to him.
Jordan, don't you think we should go ahead and bring in a new coach too, just in case Sabri leaves?
Oh, no. Oh, I'd be gutted if he left. And actually, I made a comment about this. He survived Boxing Day, which is our episode 1-2 prediction, right?
Yeah.
He's in a good spot, his old Sabri. He survived. So shout out to Lamouche for doing the business. And long may his reign continue in my current
plan. I love it.
No, it's good. It's good. And I agree with you, Mark, on who to bring in. Really like the idea of Lukas Jupkovic that's been banded around. I think he's brilliant. Always scores against us anyway. So if we sign him, it stops him scoring against us. But offers us something different too. So I think that would be good. In terms of wing, I wouldn't mind us seeing Alex Mighton play a bit more from the academy and maybe getting him in, giving him a run. But yeah, if we could sign a bit more of a blockbuster winger, more than happy to do it. We could even sign that lad from Wigan who just tore us apart in that last 10 minutes. I'm trying to remember his name.
17-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, and just incredible, wasn't he? Joe Gelhard. Yeah, unbelievable.
And joking aside as well, bring back Tyler Walker. I don't think we can have too many options right now. People are saying, well, you know, right now he's starting and he's scoring goals, and is it fair to bring him back if he's going to sit on the bench? He gets paid. His wages get paid by Nottingham Forest. Our number one priority is Nottingham Forest in the Premier League. Get him back, even if he's coming off the bench for the last 10 or 15 minutes, because he'll bag goals. He's increasingly dangerous with every passing season.
And Gibbs grabbing a rest too, because we need to protect him as well.
All right, Jordan, give us an update on the mothership. What's going on?
Mothership, 2 quick pieces. So Nashville, a full comprehensive email will be coming out very, very soon. We're just drafting it this week. With all the details and a bit of a loose itinerary. Some good news is that the MLS fixtures got released and Nashville Soccer Club will be playing on that Saturday afternoon. So I think there's going to be a nice little trip from Post Forest at the brewery to heading out to watch that at the Nissan Stadium. So
who are they nice playing? Little,
oh, you didn't need to ask me that.
I'll see if I can. I've got some contacts already at Austin FC. I'll see if I can maybe
dig it out.
Lean on them, see if I can come up with something for us.
Hang on.
Hey, Mark, let's get on to that. How's Austin FC looking in Austin? Are you getting involved with that?
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. I've had some conversations with them. I had some really encouraging, had a really encouraging visit with them right before Christmas. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to jinx things. But you know, it's interesting. They haven't really put a foot wrong. Obviously, their owner is an acquired taste. People probably know his history, and if you don't, you can go search it for yourself. I don't have a particular problem with him. Everything they've done since they announced Austin FC has been remarkable in terms of the stadium, the new training facilities, bringing in Josh Wolf as head coach, just announcing Claudio Reyna as the sporting director, Matthew McConaughey obviously coming on as one of the owners, which is, you know, raised the profile internationally. I'm sure those of you who saw McConaughey at Chelsea.
He's a mascot.
Yeah, so it's exciting. It's exciting times in Austin. People are really getting jazzed by it. And it's amazing to think there's still over a year to go before a ball is kicked competitively. But you saw on Twitter today, right, it being suggested that Austin FC and Forest with their twin trees.
There you go.
They should be sister clubs. I like that idea a lot.
Are they only letting Austin FC play at night during the summer? Because there's no way they could play during the day in summertime in Austin.
Yeah, their summer games will be hosted in Qatar. Because it'll be cooler.
Yeah, it'll be colder.
Slaves will be serving the drinks.
So Nashville are going to be playing Columbus when we play them in March. So that'll be okay.
Speaking of Austin's owner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he famously tried to shift Columbus out from Columbus. So
Speaking of a good goalie, Columbus got a great keeper.
Yeah, he's decent. He is decent.
Who, Sean? Johnson? He's ridiculous.
He's terrible, isn't he? There's that bit. And then the other piece is the Toronto Trickies have a new home. We got our current bar convenience divesting themselves from brunch. So we've actually got a Forest fan who is the manager of the bar we're going to. So Steve has helped us out there. So be sure to check the place out in Liberty Village.
Awesome. So let's go through some predictions. We want to do that in the day.
We do. Right.
So we're doing three matches because that'll put us on the 19th, I think, or the 20th, recording our next one. So let's get to the matches that we have coming up. And the next match is Reading. Is that correct?
I think it's pronounced Reading, but yeah.
Reading? Is it Reading?
No, it's Reading.
Thank you.
Oh, it's so good to have you back, Corey.
I know, and I said it correctly. Actually, we're skipping over the FA. Let's do the FA as well. Ooh. So, I'm going to go for a 2-1 loss. I think we'll have a good showing, though. I think it'll be an outstanding match. I think Chelsea might bang one in late.
Oh, it's such a lottery. Don't know who's going to play.
Exactly. Who knows? Who knows?
3-1 loss for me.
All right. Well, listeners to the show know I can never predict a Forest defeat. If I was smart, I'd go with the draw, wouldn't I? So I will go 2-1 Forest.
You want the replay?
Good luck. Yeah, we do not want a replay. Too many games.
Forest. God.
Forest. Yeah. Tyler Walker, 90th minute.
There you go. I like that. Okay, Reading is next on January 11th. It's Reading. I'm going to go. It's an away match. I feel that we're hot right now. I like this. I see a 2-0 win here.
Oh, wow. I like that. Reading have annoyingly got into some form just as we're about to play them twice in 10 days. So I'm going to go 1-1 an hour away leg on this one.
Yeah, they are. They seem to have found their stride, don't they? 4 victories in the last 5 games. Charlie Adams seems to be scaring other teams in midfield. Quite literally scaring them if you saw pictures online this week.
How is he 34? But for those of you that don't see it, like, Corey and Mark are you know, definitely older than Charlie Adam, and they look younger than him. Like,
I hear that.
He is dire, isn't he? What has happened to the lad? He's got enough money to look after himself, surely.
Speaking of how old people look, Cliff and Norm from Cheers, you're too young for this, right, Jordan?
Yeah, no idea.
That's your wheelhouse. You know Cheers.
Yeah, of course.
The first episode, they just tweeted out something about Cheers. They said the first episode of Cheers, they showed a shot of Cliff and Norm side by side. They were both 34 when they started that series, and they looked like they were 50.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, go back and look at it. It's crazy.
We're like the Cliff and Norm of this podcast. I think that would make Jordan Woody, wouldn't it?
That's pretty funny. Woody, not definitely not. What was the old coach? He could be coach.
Oh, he could be coach. He is wise beyond his years.
He is wise.
So, Reading, it's on the road. We've been doing well on the road, but Reading have hit some form. I hate agreeing with anyone else's prediction. So, just to be difficult, 2-2.
All right, our last match to preview. What's that?
The Desmond.
The last match to preview is Luton Town. This is at City Ground. It's a home game. And I really am just going to keep the momentum going. I like this. I see a 3-1 match here.
Oh, man, you got exactly the same score as me. I'm going 3-1. They're crap. They are crap.
Yeah, they're crap.
We need to continue to win games like this. So
down the league they go. Let's keep it up.
Yeah, 3-1 for me.
They're currently the basement club, as Wigan were when I predicted we'd batter them.
You went big. I love that. I just loved it. You went so big.
So let's do it again. Let's go Forest. Oh, I don't know. I mean, I obviously have no interest in winning the prediction league here, but just for shits and giggles, 5-0.
I like that, and I also don't know what I put into the prediction league through the club, and I have no idea if this syncs up with any of that. It's just off the cuff. Who cares, right?
Although I will say on the prediction league, it's getting very, very tight at the top. I think there's three people separated by 2 points. One of them is Gareth King, one of our Toronto trickies, but Jake is still sitting top of the pile out there in Chicago by a point or two. So it's getting quite tight, and we've got a naughty little prize for the winner. Go on, Mark.
No, I want to say, because I know we're getting to the end of the podcast here, and I don't want to miss. You know, we're sponsored by Boot Bags. You're familiar now with Shane and Jordan.
There's a Boot Bag. Start that all over. It totally hung up.
So I don't want to miss the opportunity before the end of the pod just to give a quick shout out to Boot Bags. Regular listeners to the show will know Jordan Schweitzer and Shane Malcolm, co-founders of Boot Bags, professional football players for the Colorado Springs Switchbacks, although I'm not sure they will be there next year. We'll see. Jordan actually has already announced he's moved on to Phoenix, which is a bit of a bummer. But anyhow, right now, the lads are in Jamaica. You may remember in our episode we did with them, they talked about taking their first mission trip to Jamaica. And taking out Boot Bags for the kids out there, the impoverished kiddos, as well as boots that have been donated. So if any of you took the opportunity to send your old football boots to Jordan and Shane, they put some pictures on Instagram. Go check it out on their Boot Bags account. They've got all the boots laid out on the floor, get ready to bundle them up, put them in their suitcases, and they are in Jamaica as we speak. So fair play, boys. Appreciate you following through on your promise. I know the kids out there are really going to enjoy the gear you're taking out for them. So fair play, Boot Bags.
Sounds awesome that Jordan's moving over to Phoenix. Is he taking Didier Drogba's spot?
He is, with his prolific. I got to tell you, so he has one goal this last season, right? Because he's primarily a defensive midfielder. His one goal, folks go check it out on YouTube or whatever. His one goal ended up being the Switchback's goal of the season.
Yeah, baby. Get in.
I can't imagine how the other players who scored multiple goals felt, but it was a corker, and it got him goal of the season. Last thing that he won before he was out the door on his way to Phoenix. And Phoenix, I think, are strong contenders for the MLS. So I think Jordan's going to be in a good place. He certainly can hold his own in the MLS with the right coaching and the right opportunities. I think Schweitzer could be on a rocket. So good luck to him, and good luck to Shane wherever he ends up. Maybe back with the Switchbacks this next year. Maybe off the past just new. We will find out in due course.
All right, well, we're going to try and find an all-star from podcast past and maybe get a chat with an all-star in between our next podcast. So we're going to have a stoppage time that we're going to pull out for you guys, and we will see you around the 20th. We should anticipate having some good match reviews and hopefully a national championship by LSU. So we'll be done with this college football stuff, and I'll be wearing purple and gold next time. So it really is great to talk to you guys again. And thank you guys for listening to the Forest Fancast. Please support Boot Bags. Spring soccer season, football season, the real footy is coming soon. And the only way to really keep all your crap together is with a boot bag. And I highly recommend it. My daughter uses it for every match and every practice. So you should get out there, support those that support the Forest Fancast. Thank you guys so much.
That's good to have you back again, Corey. And how do we wrap this thing up? What are we?
Yes!
There he is.
Simon Hart for Prime Minister.
Oh Lord. Hey, in case the World War III thing actually does happen, it's been great.
Absolutely. I'm off to my bunker.
Hey, this is Shane Malcolm.
And this is Jordan Schweitzer.
We're the creators of Boot Bags.
Fashionable, durable, washable. Boot Bags are the most convenient way to carry your cleats to and from training or games. Check us out at bootbags.us.
You're listening to the Forest Fancast podcast.